Kenneth Branagh's first venture into filmmaking was when he adapted, directed, and starred in his 1989 production of Henry V. It's probably just a happy coincidence that in a new film called My Week with Marilyn, he's playing Sir Laurence Olivier, who pulled off the same hat trick 45 years earlier with his 1944 version of Shakespeare's great history play. The new film, which features an all-star cast that includes Eddie Redmayne, Derek Jacobi, Toby Jones, Julia Ormond, Simon Russell Beale, Zoe Wanamaker, Emma Watson, Judi Dench, and Michelle Williams as Marilyn Monroe, is currently playing at theaters around town. It's based on two memoirs by Colin Clark and directed by Simon Curtis from a screenplay by Adrian Hodges. And I'm very pleased to welcome Kenneth Branagh back to our show. Hello.
Thank you very much. Hello. Nice to see you.
This film is about what happened during the making of The Prince and the Showgirl, one of the few parts that Marilyn Monroe played outside of 20th Century Fox. What were the circumstances that brought her together with Laurence Olivier?
Well, she had her own production company, Marilyn Monroe Productions, which was partly financed by Fox because she was their great big movie star, the world's biggest movie star at that time. And it was 1956. She came to England to be directed by the man acknowledged as the world's greatest actor, Laurence Olivier, or Sir Laurence Olivier, and
Sir Larry, is he?
Or Sir Larry,
to be
yes,
asked,
yes, or
called
Lord Olivier later on. It was to film a movie called The Prince and the Showgirl. It was based on a Terence Rattigan play called The Sleeping Prince.
Now, the suggestion is that he feared that his career was in the kind of doldrums, but then he made a slew of films in the following years, although this was the last one he ever did as a director.
Well, he did direct again, but only once. He directed Chekhov's Three Sisters, a film adaptation of a famous stage production he did. That was 16 years later. He said that Marilyn had put him off so profoundly, even though he said also that he felt the film directing was the best job in the world. And I think that it was clear, he writes very candidly about it in his memoirs, that he hoped that Marilyn would renew him. He felt something of a dinosaur at that point.
But she was already notoriously unreliable, habitually late, frequently absent. Hadn't he been warned?
He, I think, was so seduced by her when they met 6 months prior to filming in New York. And she was this remarkable mixture. She was late for that meeting, but she was charming when she arrived and very smart, to his great surprise and delight. And the next day she was the one who said, shouldn't we get a contract sorted out for this? So she really sort of prosecuted the whole thing very strongly. He felt that she was as good as her word. She wanted to come and learn at the feet of the master.
You've directed quite a few films of your own. Have you ever had to contend with anyone like this, somebody who just didn't show up sometimes?
Lateness I've tended to sort of stamp out pretty swiftly. And I wish I could do this. Richard Attenborough once told me a story about casting a woman who'd known to be notoriously difficult. And he sat her down the week before they began, and he said in his own inimitable fashion, "Now look here, darling, we all love you, darling. You're an absolute angel, darling. You're so talented, but I just wanted to let you know, darling, that if you misbehave, even if it's in the last scene of the last shot of the last day of your work, I will fire you, I will replace you, and I will reshoot everything that's in the movie with you. Do you understand, darling? Now you are going to behave, aren't you?"
You couldn't have done that with Marilyn Monroe, unfortunately. That probably would have sent her into a deep depression and she wouldn't have shown up for a week.
Exactly. I wonder if Marilyn had not been taken from us so soon, whether she might have reformed herself in later years in the search of the great part.
Well, I suspect Michelle Williams was a lot easier to work with.
She certainly was. I mean, Michelle was an absolute pro, a professional in every sense on the show. And Marilyn, by contrast, set a record, I think, of 3 days for her delay in showing up. Michelle combined all the hard work and thoroughness that the part needed with an ability to just play the inner woman as well. She was amazingly free with the opportunity.
Did you, I'm sure you did, watch The Prince and the Showgirl to prepare for your role?
I did indeed, yes. Yeah.
Now, Monroe plays Elsie Marina, a young showgirl who's noticed by the Prince Regent of Carpathia, played by Olivier, and she's invited to come to his country's embassy for supper. This is a kind of a classic fish out of water story, plot, isn't it?
Yes, and it played very, very successfully as the sleeping prince, the Oliviers, Laurence Olivier and Vivian Leigh, his then wife, had toured in that play and then played in London's West End for 9 months. And possibly the strength and the weakness of Olivier's own performance is that he'd played it for so many times in the West End. So he knew what worked in the theatre, but I think sometimes that caught him out on film, where Marilyn, by contrast, caught the sort of giddy, ingenue lightness of touch that the Elsie Marina character needed and was very, by contrast, very real in the part.
Well, as we've seen from some of her other films, Marilyn had a real flair for comedy.
Most certainly. I think that she had...
Was she overwhelming Olivier, a man who was hard to overwhelm?
There was something about her and the situation that meant that as director, Olivier, of course, was bound to feature and serve the gifts of the greatest movie star in the world, who was wowing, seducing and thrilling men, women and children all over the place. And so you had to let that breathe. It came probably at the expense of the kind of humour that his character had earned in the theatre. And so it, just character-wise, he couldn't have the same looseness that she brought to it, and his comic touch was heavy-handed by contrast, although very effective in many ways.
Well, they often talk about chemistry between actors, although I've never understood that completely, because if you're an actor, you shouldn't have a chemistry problem. But do you feel there wasn't a lot of chemistry between their performances?
Well, it's an interesting question, because to some extent you could argue that in the sort of love-hate of it all, that the tension between them created a kind of electricity. I think, and of course I would say this, that's what you see in My Week with Marilyn. You see the incredible electric connection between them, but it was one that seemed to go missing in The Prince and the Showgirl. If you look at production stills...
Well, is the script weak? Because it really does feel like it wasn't the greatest movie even under the best of circumstances.
I think that it took some difficulty to translate onto the screen, and I guess they brought to it greater expectations of it being able to punch above its weight than it really was capable of doing. So it wasn't perhaps as funny as it might have been.
And Monroe had also committed herself to being a method actor and had even brought Paula Strasberg along as an advisor. And didn't Olivier express great disdain for the method approach? There's this famous story about him and Dustin Hoffman during the filming of The Boys from Brazil.
There is indeed where it might even have been Marathon Man where Dustin Hoffman, it was about exactly the same vintage, Dustin Hoffman allegedly stayed up all night in order to make himself sufficiently haggard and ragged and exhausted for a famous scene in a dental chair where he's being tortured by Olivier, who greeted this piece of method acting by saying, "Why don't you try acting, dear boy?" And maybe, I don't know whether it's apocryphal or not, but I know that he fancied himself as a great sort of technician, Olivier, but he was a sublime artist who could transcend all of that. He happened to be both things, I think. He didn't always perhaps know it, but he was a great technical artist and a great inspirational one.
My guest is Kenneth Branagh, who is playing Sir Laurence Olivier in My Week with Marilyn, a new film that's playing in theaters around town. Later, maybe we'll talk about some of your other projects. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. You're a graduate of the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, and in England, aren't most actors given similar training? So there wouldn't be that kind of oil and water problem that you get sometimes when you have a method actor working with somebody who comes out of a different acting approach.
Well, it's interesting to think about it in that way. I think there are more differences amongst English actors in the way they train or not train or find their way into the acting profession these days. But I think back then, in 1956, Marilyn was perhaps at third hand ingesting a version of the method. Interesting thing about Marilyn was that she was already a sort of an artificial creation by the time she arrived at a point where she wanted to be real. She had created Marilyn Monroe, who was very different from Norma Jean. The look, the walk, the hair, everything, the way of speaking, the breathiness. And so to then start wanting to be real inside what was an artificial creation was an interesting kind of dynamic.
Well, you've performed with method actors like Robert De Niro. Is there a problem, or in the end, is it simply a matter of using whatever you have to use to get to do the performances the best you can.
I think that's it, basically. And I think the labels are dangerous. All the best ones, including Robert De Niro that I've worked with, sort of tailor their approach to the particular project, the particular character, the day, the people they're working with, the time in their lives. Everything is sort of tailor-made to try and... you basically get the best, do the best job. But I think this thing of sense memory, I mean, for instance, with Prince and the Showgirl, Olivier was driven mad by, in a love scene, Paula Strasberg instructing Marilyn to think of the things that she loved, like Coca-Cola and Frank Sinatra. This was not what Olivier wanted to see in her eyes. He wanted to see the adoration of him, the real being standing opposite her. So he found it distracting and sort of weird. And he may have had a point. One way or another, they came at it from different positions.
Well, what about you and your career? That you recently directed Thor, the action adventure that starred Natalie Portman, Sir Anthony Hopkins, and Chris Hemsworth. Do you approach a project in the same way, whether it's an adaptation of a Shakespeare play or an adaptation of a Marvel comic book?
I think you apply the same sort of passion and energy and drive. You know, you do it because you love it and you feel privileged to do it. I certainly do. So that doesn't change. But hopefully an approach is evolving, and some things bleed into other projects. And there's quite a sort of Shakespearean dimension to the Thor universe, in as much as there was a great lordly king in Tony Hopkins' character, Odin, who with two sons, and there was sort of echoes of Henry V and that kind of tale, because Shakespeare was echoing classic examples of the same thing from previous grand stories. So there was a sense of tradition and connection with primal sort of myths in that show.
Although he didn't actually draw upon Norse mythology, he does write a fair number of plays that take place somewhere in some mythical Scandinavia.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And in fact, Stan Lee, creator of Thor, said that he went to the Norse myths because it was the only group that Shakespeare hadn't really raided. He'd left a lot of space. He'd gone to the Romans and the Greeks, and so there was a bit of room for the man with the hammer.
You also are doing another kind of Scandinavian turn as Detective Kurt Wallander in the award-winning series Wallander. Is that going to go into another series of TV shows?
Yeah, we've just finished three new films that we finished shooting last week in Sweden. And if you can imagine, with this very troubled individual who roams the badlands of southern Sweden, finding plenty of crime and being sort of existential and poetic about it whilst his life is falling around him, it gets darker. I wanted to say to people, oh no, it's changed. He's got a girlfriend and he's happier and he's moved house. All of those things he attempts. But there's just a kind of Scandinavian introspection that just swallows him up. It makes for very compelling storytelling from our screenwriters, I think. But it's dark stuff. Fun to do, though, bizarrely.
Well, based on a very popular series. Mm. My Week with Marilyn is based on two memoirs by Colin Clark, who was a movie-crazy 23-year-old son of the noted art historian Kenneth Clark. But he wrote these books many years later, 40 years and plus, the first one, The Prince, The Showgirl, and Me, and then My Week with Marilyn. And he worked as a third assistant director on the set of the film. That's the equivalent of being a gopher, isn't it? A glorified gopher?
Absolutely right, yes. The last thing, as the film says, the last thing you ever do is assist the director. As it happens in this case, Colin does get privileged access to both Olivier and Munro, partly because I think people in that situation often simply ignore young people or people they haven't seen before and end up perhaps sharing confessional detail simply because they regard them as sort of non-beings.
But there is a strong suggestion in the film that he and Munro developed a kind of an intimate relationship during the week that they spent alone. And some people have objected to that.
I think that there were still plenty of people around who, you know, were on the set of that film. And I think there are differing views about how distressed Marilyn was when Arthur Miller, as he did at various times, leave to go back and see his kids in New York.
She felt abandoned because he just couldn't take it.
It was tough. It was definitely tough.
They were on the honeymoon, and he was faced with his wife having an emotional crisis, a breakdown.
It seemed, and also it was a moment where notes that he'd made that potentially suggested using her life for a play that was to become After the Fall were discovered by Marilyn, and she was devastated by this, such as perhaps the life of anyone who lives with closely with a writer. The idea that she would have sought solace in other company, just simply for that thing itself or company, I think is legit. Whether it was Colin, I don't know. But the idea of a young person with privileged access to a famous person, I think is an idea that the public and audiences are warming to, imagining what it might be like to put yourself in that position where you could be the person to save them, to make Marilyn less lonely, less fragile, you know, to be her friend. I think it's an attractive idea.
Oh, I think that I would have fantasized it. She did have a serious breakdown during the filming of The Misfits a couple of films later that Arthur Miller had written for her. But in between, it's ironic that The Prince and the Showgirl preceded two of its star's greatest triumphs, Monroe in Some Like It Hot, her next film, and Olivier playing Archie Rice in John Osborne's The Entertainer, which I think may have been his greatest performance.
I agree with you that it's right up there, perhaps with Richard III, as both of them, in a way that actually he shared with Marilyn but doesn't come across in Prince and the Showgirl so much. Olivier, of course, was a great sexy performer. Both the performances, even of a seedy fella like Archie Rice or the great dark monarch Richard III, were incredibly sexy, arrogant, powerful, charismatic performances and very, very funny.
But it's interesting that in Some Like It Hot, Monroe played the kind of character she had complained about being typecast as. Mm. The wiggly, sexy, lovable. She wanted to be taken more seriously. She wanted to play Chekhov.
Yes, she did. And but at the same time, it's almost as if, and so much of Marilyn's life and so much of the life of actors and Olivier perhaps, and some of it indicated in this film, is about playing with these layers and with these mirrored reflections. And it seemed almost that in the doing of it in Some Like It Hot, Marilyn not only played that which she was apparently contemptuous of, but she played it better than anybody possibly could, with hints of knowingness underneath.
But she also drove Billy Wilder crazy.
Apparently, and also had the great pleasure of working with Jack Lemmon once, and he said it was tough. He said if you were in a two or a three shot with Marilyn, you really had to be brilliant every single time, because if you did 39 takes and she got it right as she would only on one take, and it was the 39th take, then they were going to use that one. You needed to be. He said, in that sense, she kept you very, very good.
But she would get her lines wrong, and I'd imagine that's something else that you've had to contend with. And how many films have you made so far?
I've directed 12 movies, and I've been in about 20 or 30, I don't know. Enough to have seen an interesting and rich array of differences in approach, some of which include having a fast and loose relationship with the text.
Uh-huh. Well, I look forward to the memoir in which you reveal all.
Well, I guess we all know where some of the bodies are buried in these instances. But, you know, I find most instances of curious behavior or erratic discipline are usually from a basic fear of performance, which I have some sympathy with. It requires a crazy, unusual kind of courage. I think Marilyn Monroe had it. I think Laurence Olivier had it for sure. And with the gift of it also came the fear and the doubt and the insecurity, and that's partly what the movie's about.
Kenneth Branagh plays Laurence Olivier in this new film called My Week with Marilyn. Michelle Williams is Marilyn Monroe in it. Eddie Redmayne, Derek Jacobi, Toby Jones, Julia Ormond, Simon Russell Beale, Zoe Wanamaker, Emma Watson, Judy Dench, just a few of the famous people in this amazing cast. And thank you so much, Kenneth, for being on our show today.
Thank you, Len. Thank you.